So great to see everyone this morning. We're going to talk about, and I really want to apologize up front for PowerPoint. I loaded it up, and it wasn't the same version as I was expecting, and there had been some adaptations that didn't make it to my jump drive, and so I'm very sorry about that. But they are available to you if you feel like you'd like to go back and find some of those passages that I talked about, and of course, I understand you can listen to the sermon on the website, or CDs probably available as well. So anyway, we're going to talk about instrumental music this morning. What is the fuss about it? What is the big fuss about instrumental music? Does it really matter? For many, it's considered a non-issue. For many who would come to church and they would to hear the instruments and see the people there so happy and praising God with instrumental music accompanying them, it would just sure seem that that was a sight that would be pleasing to God. And surely that would be a soothing aroma that would ascend to God, and He would be pleased with that. Well, so what difference does it make, or does it make a difference? First of all, I wanted to mention to our guests, if you're new to this assembly, this church, and you've now sung with us, and you've noticed that there's no instruments here this morning, that is not because we're just trying to be different. Despite what you've heard, we're not just not in the use of instruments because we're trying to be distinct or we're trying to identify ourselves with some particular sect or brand of Christianity. We don't use instruments for a very specific reason, and I hope that that'll be clear when this lesson is completed. But in order to get to the point of explanation why that's the case, I want to start with a brief history of the instrument in the Bible. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at the instrument as it was initially instituted for the nation of Israel. And it started when you get the first recorded incident of worship directed to God with use of the instrument in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I'm not saying this is the first instrument ever created, but first instance where Israel was given an instrument commanded to worship God by its use. So Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. And when you sound the advance, the camp shall lie on the east side. They shall begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So we notice here from Numbers chapter 10 that God is the one who originated these trumpets. He commanded them. And He also indicated who it was who would be blowing these trumpets. And not only that, but what was the purpose? What was the use or intended purpose for these trumpets? What's interesting, as you read throughout history, it wasn't until 500 years later that David incorporated some new instructions about the use of instruments. It wasn't until David came along and expanded the authorized selection of instruments to be used, because for 500 years after Numbers 10, they used nothing as far as we can tell from God's revelation, except these two trumpets. Moses wasn't at liberty, according to the law, to just incorporate whatever kind of musical instruments or accompaniment to their praise that he wanted to. The fact that the Egyptians would have had many kinds of instruments that you would think might have been appealing to listen to, that didn't change the fact that the Israelites did not incorporate the use of those instruments into their worship. Remember that talk about religious authority and general and specific commands we talk about sometimes? Well, please note from Numbers 10 that God was very specific, first of all, about the kind of instruments. These were to be trumpets. He was specific with regard to the quantity of instruments. There were to be two of them. He was specific with regard to the color of the instruments. These are silver trumpets. He was specific about who it was to play the trumpets. Not just anybody could pick up the trumpet and sound the alarm, but the priests only. He was specific about when and for what purpose they were to be blown. Even what the playing of one trumpet and not the other trumpet signified to the congregation of Israel. Well, let's consider the time of David then. 500 years later, as I mentioned, we see David inaugurating a new era of song worship right about the time that Solomon's temple was built. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We'll start in verse 1. We won't read the whole thing, but just to set the stage, 1 Chronicles 16:1, where the ark being placed in the tabernacle. It says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God." So that's the setting. Ark being placed in the tabernacle, and they're preparing to worship God. Now, look at verses 4 through 6. "And he," that is David, "appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, then Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. Jael with stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God." So David here adds certain instruments to the trumpets that God had ordained beforehand. Now look at chapter 23, verses 4 through 5. 23, verse 4. It says, "Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord, 6,000 were officers and judges, 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made," said David, "for giving praise. Also David separated them into divisions among the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari." So here David specified the instruments that were to be made, and also in the context here we're talking about his ordaining the work of the Levites. It was the division of the Levites that he was breaking down into the various services that they would perform in the tabernacle or the temple. Now, look at verses 25 and 26. 1 Chronicles 23, 25, and 26. This is interesting because here it indicates part of the reason for which David expanded the use of these instruments in God's worship. He said, "For David said, 'The Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever, and also to the Levites, they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service.'" And so at the end of all of this, he intimates that part of the reasoning for this expanded use of the instruments and their and the praise of God by their use, he said part of the reason for that is, well, there's just bluntly put, there's just not the same amount of work for them to be doing. They're not having to carry or transport this tabernacle around all of the time. They're not transporting the hardware, the holy objects, the linens and things, the Gershon and Merari, Gershon, Merari, and Kohath would have been responsible for. And so he gives that as a part of the reason that they're no longer doing those things. Well, then in 2 Chronicles 29, you look then and see what King Hezekiah has to say about what David did about, 300 or so years after the fact, 300 to 350 years later. Here is King Hezekiah's commentary on David's initiation or institution of these instruments. We'll look at verses 25 through 27. Here, when Hezekiah sought to restore temple worship, it says he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer burnt offerings on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpet and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. Now that's significant because Hezekiah refutes what many today have said about those instruments, and that is that David, when he did that, he didn't have a right to be doing that. That he wasn't really inventing for himself a new way of worship. Hezekiah comes along and says, no, that he instituted these things as according to the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. So David was not acting alone. He hadn't gone rogue. He hadn't merely adopted some worship that was contrary to the law of Moses. He was operating under God's direction. But notice here the combination of the instruments of David with those trumpets of Moses. Did you catch that? Those trumpets in verse 27, they are alluded to. The burnt offering, they began. The song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and the instruments of David. So Numbers 10, where the priests blowing these trumpets over the sacrifices, that was still in effect. That was still being observed. But now David had offered these instruments in addition to those things. So, some observations. Nobody in Israel, according to what we read, just presumed to come along and say, you know what would make this sound better? Is if we just broaden this out a little bit. Let's get a little electric, guitar, some bass guitar here. Well, what about the drums? What about this and that? You didn't just have that kind of free-for-all thinking where just because we have some doesn't mean that necessarily everything is authorized, because God was very specific. And David was specific about the what and the who and the timing during which these things were being played. Well, look back at 1 Chronicles 28, 11 through 13. Notice a few more things. You recall that God had told David that he would not be the one allowed to build the temple. It says here, verse 11, that David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. Please note that those plans handed over by David, who did a lot of the background work, a lot of the preparatory planning that was handed over to Solomon was by the Spirit, verse 12, and that it included the work of in the division of the priests and all the work of the service of the house of God. Now, 28 verse 19 of 1 Chronicles. And all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me all the works of these plans. God had extensive plans, a very particular outline which was handed over, and that David did not just dream this stuff up. We know that the temple and that the old covenant and the articles of the covenant and the whole priesthood system was a shadow of New Testament realities, and that they envisioned that they signified certain truths about the old about New Testament spiritual realities. And so God did not leave that to David to just come up with those things. Now, his instruments were not a liberty. They weren't just dreamed up. There were 500 years in which all they had were two trumpets. I want to reiterate that. 500 years. And it's not until David that these new things came into being. And I want you to think about the fact that just from the historical perspective, whenever there was a restoration of worship that was made by some of the reforming kings, you know, like Hezekiah and Josiah, whenever you read about those things, you would read that they always went back to the pattern of the trumpets that were given to Moses and the instruments that David instituted there in the Chronicles. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 18. When worship went awry, let's look at their restoration. Scriptures continually note that musical instruments were restored just as God had commanded to Moses. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 18. There it says, at the death of Athaliah, he says, also Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing, with singing, as it was established by David. Now, turn over to 2 Chronicles 35, verses 4 and 5. That last passage just laid down the fact that when the restoration of the worship was in effect, they went back to Moses, they went back to the words of David. So in 2 Chronicles 35, verses 4 and 5, he says, Josiah here in his restoration says, prepare yourselves according to your father's houses, according to your divisions, following the written instruction of David, king of Israel, and the written instruction of Solomon his son, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of your brethren, the lay people, and according to the division of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Okay, so he makes reference again to the division of the Levites, to their work, and according to the instructions that were given to David, of which Hezekiah had said these instructions, which included the use of those instruments, was by the commandment of the Lord through His holy prophets. You see the same thing in Ezra chapter 3 after the captivity. Ezra 3, look at verse 10 of the book of Ezra. Ezra 3:10 reads, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. There you see it. You see the limited scope of David's commands. You see reference to the temples, the trumpets of Moses, the cymbals, and the, doesn't mention the stringed instruments here, but the cymbals that David had commanded. Well, let's look at Nehemiah. You see the same thing. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 24 and 35. Here, just before we read of the dedication of the wall, it says, the heads of the Levites were Hashabiah and Sherebiah and Jeshua, son of Kadmiel, with their brothers across from them to praise and give thanks, group alternating with group, according to the commandment of David, the man of God. Then you see in verse 35 where it says, some of the priests' sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, and son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah. All right, we've got all that. It established that phrase that we needed to pick up. Some of the priests' sons with trumpets. That's exactly what we saw in Numbers chapter 10, 1 through 10. Okay, God created the trumpet. It required that just the priests would be using that trumpet at the right time. The common people did not use them. Well, in verses 44 and 45 of chapter 12, they cited their source for the authority of the restoration that they were performing, according to the command of David and Solomon his son. Okay, what is our conclusion? The conclusion of the matter is this. At no time in Israel's period of reformation or restoration did any of these people ever decide for themselves that they wanted to just expound upon the liberty that God gave them by instituting even one instrument. That it always went back to what was commanded. What was commanded in the beginning? And they went back to the specificity of those commands, the who was to play, the what they were to play, the how many they were to play. And they did not take upon themselves or presume liberty in just instituting whatever kinds of instruments they wanted. Well, and again, we want to reiterate that this wasn't something borrowed from Egypt. This was God's origination of Israel's trumpet into Israel's worship. Josephus remarks on this point that this wasn't just an adaptation or a borrowing of something from Egypt. This was God's creation of this trumpet, this special trumpet. When he says Moses was the inventor of their trumpet, which was made of silver. Its description is this. In length, it was a little less than a cubit. It was composed of a narrow tube and was somewhat thicker than a flute. Don't ask me how he knew these things. I don't know exactly how he knew these things, but somewhere Josephus was able to come up with these specific requirements for the trumpet. But he makes the point that it was new and of its kind, wasn't something that was borrowed. One of the things that people sometimes come along and say as they study through their prophets is you get to Amos, and in Amos chapter 6, 4 through 6, they read this phrase in which it says that these people had invented for themselves instruments, as did David. Okay, let's look at that. This would seem to give weight to those who say, Dave, you know, and to me this is just a kind of a lazy way out of answering the question of instrumental music, because it would be so easy for us to say, well, David didn't have a right to do that. He should have never done that. And if he hadn't done that, well, we wouldn't be having the struggle that we're having today. But he just makes our life difficult by mentioning the instruments like he does in the Old Testament. Well, no, but look at what they do say from this. It says in verse 4 of Amos chapter 6 that they lie in beds of ivory, stretch out on couches, eat lambs of the flock, calves from the midst of the stall. They sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for themselves musical instruments like David. There it is. There's the condemnation of them having invented instrumental music when they didn't have the authority to do that. So what do we do with that? Was it wrong for David to have invented those or not? Did David invent them of themselves? Well, what did 2 Chronicles 29:25 say about that? It said this was according to the commandment of the Lord through his prophets. What are we to do with this then? They invent for themselves musical instruments like David. Does it not make sense to you to read that in the sense that they invent for themselves instruments as though they were? Or like, as though they were like, as though they had the authority of David? Grammatically, that makes sense. Scripturally, that makes sense. Because the scriptures say that David had the right to do that. And so what sounds like an argument against all instruments, or at least all of David's instruments, turns into an argument against presuming to create the use of instruments in worship to God. So if that's the way it's to be read, that they invent for themselves musical instruments like they think they're David or something, that becomes a very modern point to be made to those who today would say, well, let's just go ahead and use this. Let's just go ahead and use that. And you just anybody can play this and praise God according to their own ability with that instrument. That wasn't the way it was in the Old Testament. And again, we're not certainly not following the pattern of restorational worship when we make the same presumption. Remember Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, and the points to be taken away from that. When in Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire to the Lord, it says that they failed to honor God. And Ezekiel reminds us that we need to make a distinction between what is holy and what is common. God ordained two trumpets as holy in Numbers 10. Now this is Ezekiel 22, verse 26, that says, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. So the holy were the two trumpets. Unholy would be anything additional to that. The holy was, you know, the instruments that 2 Hezekiah points out in the first or 2 Hezekiah. That's not a book, but I do use that phrase a lot just to make fun of something that's not in the scriptures. Anyway, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, in which Hezekiah is a key player. It would be unholy to add anything to what was stated there. By the way, it's not just about instruments. There is such a thing as a holy and common fire in Leviticus chapter 10. Profane fire before the Lord which he had not authorized. In Ezekiel chapter 42, verse 20, we learn that there were holy and common places in the temple. As Ezekiel 42, verse 20 says, he measured it on the four sides, and it had a wall all around, 500 cubits long and 500 wide, to separate the holy areas from the common. We know that there was holy bread and common bread. Remember when David was on the run and he came to the temple and he needed something to eat? He said, well, we don't have any common bread. We just have this holy bread. By the way, why is it that we don't use just any kind of bread on the Lord's table? Why don't we use angel food cake, for example? How much more holy can you get than angel food cake? I mean, doesn't that seem like a good idea? That seems like that'd be drawing near to God. No. God made holy unleavened bread because that's what they would have been using during the time of the Passover. And what we see when we get to the New Testament is what did God give as a standard for authority? Did the apostles ever say, well, let's go back and follow the commands of Moses and David? Like so many times the kings did, according to the commandment of Moses, according to the commandment of David. No, they didn't do that. In fact, one time, one of them did say that, and he was rebuked for doing that. That was Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, let's build these altars. We'll build one to Moses, and we'll also build one to Jesus. Moses and Jesus, but no, one to Elijah as well, which would have signified him as one of the heads of the prophets. So, no, and the message was, no, we're not listening to Moses anymore. We're not listening to the prophets anymore with regard to our laws and where we get our authority. We're listening to Christ now and to those whom he inspired, his holy apostles. So, what do you find when you come to their instruction? What instructions were given? Well, at least nine times, you've got the subject of music in the New Testament, Christians worshiping God. By the way, when people say, oh, you're the church that doesn't believe in music, I think you've seen that to be true, false already this morning, that we've sung, and that is music. But of all of the instances in the New Testament where Christians are worshiping God, it is always, without exception, vocal music in which people are speaking to one another. Not playing to one another, but speaking. As Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, the same kind of thing. Others very quickly make reference to, and they sang a hymn and went out. Isn't it remarkable that in the Old Testament, of all of the times that they were very specific to point out all of the music and the instruments that were used, that not once in all of those occasions did he ever make mention of the who, the how, the what that they were to play. Another problem with this is that in the Old Testament, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, we've got a problem with the incorporation of instruments into our worship today as well. He says, one of the results of Jesus having died on the cross for us, the bringing, ushering in of a new covenant, is that the priesthood has been changed, and of necessity, there was a change of law also. A change of law. A part of that law was not just the law of Moses, but the law of David. Just like they had used that phrase so many times, the law according to David, the servant of God. So here it says that the priesthood of God has been changed. And since the priesthood has been changed, then so has the law. And if the priesthood and law have been changed, then so has the music that was directly associated with that law. We see from Hebrews 8, verse 13, that old covenant has become obsolete, has grown old, and ready to vanish away. While that first system stood, while it was standing, the way to heaven had not yet been revealed. That whole system has been destroyed, and God has revealed the true way into the holiest of holies. And it's not through the temple. It's not through temple worship. It's not through the Levitical priesthood. It's not through the instruments of David. All those things are taken out. It's not through the trumpets of Moses either that he commanded. All those things are done away with. We've got a new covenant. And God incorporated speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See, those instruments of David, they were tied inseparably to the sacrificial system. They were even commanded. Remember those trumpets? And you shall play those trumpets over the sacrifices, those offerings that are made to God. So if you can use those instruments today in worship to God, then you can just as easily incorporate the sacrificial system that they used under that covenant. And of course, that may recall in your mind the quote by John Calvin, who said, musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting of lamps, and the restoration of other shadows of the law. The papists, therefore, have done foolishly borrowed this, as well as many other things, from the Jews. Men who are fond of outward pomp may delight in that noise, but the simplicity which God recommends to us by the apostles is far more pleasing to Him. Now, I haven't even really gone into a lot of church history and the kind of arguments that you might learn from history. I do think it's very interesting that the word a cappella means in the manner of the church. I can understand the Latin is in the manner of the church. So you get somebody come along and say, well, this, you know, they've been doing this forever. No, the original manner of the church was, well, you know what a cappella means. It means just vocal music. It wasn't until after the fact that these reformations and modern instruments were incorporated into worship. And even then, not without great controversy. So these are important questions because, well, those who worship God will worship Him in truth as well as in spirit. And we need to make sure that we have an answer for these things. And this, I wanted to preach this because, well, I'm not going to have time to take that in my evangelistic class. We're going to cover questions like this, but we wanted to do this in this time because it required a lot of time to do so. Thank you so much for listening. I know it might raise some questions for some of you. We want to give you an opportunity to ask those. Feel free to do so afterwards. We invite you to take your songbook out now. We're going to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and sing and make melody with our hearts to God. If while we're doing that, you are convicted that you need to commit your life to God and obedience, faithful obedience to Christ and to His gospel, then we invite you to respond at this time. Can we help you in any way to obey His commandments? If so, come forward now while we stand and sing.